What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Glad you are with us on Worldview Radio and the VCY America Radio Network. Joining me today will be two guests. One, Todd Bensman, author of this book, America's Covert Border War, subtitled The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. I often hold it up on television and promote it, and I think this is his first time to be with us on the 60 blowtorch stations of the VCY America Radio Network. He writes over at CIS.org as well as ToddBensman.com. He's broken many stories for us on the TV side of where I work, and he's going to come on today to talk about a massive, massive national security threat we are facing here in America. And then we'll be joined at about 1:30 Central Time by Colonel John Mills. Colonel John Mills also joins us with very disturbing information out of the intelligence arena and what's been going on there with John Brennan and others. So again, very busy news day once again. What's new? It seems as though the news is ratcheting up. It cycles beyond the ability of one to keep up. I've been doing this radio and then added television for 27 years now, and I've never seen it to this degree. But joining me now is Todd Bensman, again, author of America's Covert Border War. I highly recommend the book. Again, the subtitle tells you the untold story of the nation's battle to prevent jihadist infiltration. Todd, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Welcome. I think it's your first time to be on the VCY America Radio Network and their 60 stations. Thanks for joining us, Todd.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Todd, you've been warning us now for a few months about the crisis at the border. You broadcast one night television standing on the street corner. Where were you that night?
I was on the Guatemala border in the Mexican town of Tapachula.
And tell our radio audience what you were reporting that night before we get into the big, big story that we're about to cover. Tell our audience about that, because that in itself and ant operations, that will be new to this radio audience.
That's the town where the pipeline, the human pipeline, first empties out from Central America, coming right out of Guatemala, and everybody surfaces out of that pipeline into Tapachula, just pouring out there. And the Mexican government, in a deal with the Biden administration, is supposed to be holding the line there and slow rolling all those people and making them apply for asylum and different kinds of visas and residency cards and kind of keeping them down there locked up. And so when I was there, that was what was happening. They were blocking them all up and everybody was mad and they were holding demonstrations. And those demonstrations over a few weeks after I left turned into riots. And when that happens, the Mexican government just lets them all go secretly. They do it in a way that's called an ant operation, which is that they make sure that they release everybody to 13, 14 different cities so that they're not all in one big media drawing clump of caravan or Del Rio migrant camp under the bridge kind of a thing. Nobody notices it, so nobody can really has a political problem with it. But that's what's underway right now. All of those, an ant operation from when I was there in January, late January, is now underway. And so we are just swamped completely, overrun totally, everything overrun in Del Rio sector, Yuma sector, and Rio Grande sector. They can't keep up. So all of those people are now just like wandering through the streets and, you know, panhandling, and they're just walking around. There's just, it couldn't process everybody, so that's about to get way worse.
In addition to that, Todd, you reported that the government gives these folks cards, QR cards, for the audience who maybe isn't familiar. Some are, some aren't. These QR cards, those little square, that square box you see oftentimes with you know, all these, I don't know what you call them, little blocks that make a bigger block.
Yeah, you scan them into your phone, or you know, you can But they didn't do the QR codes this time. They did a 90-day humanitarian visas that they just now hand out to everybody. About 1,000 or 1,500 a day that they can get handed out. And then those require that they go to a particular city and check in, and then get another one that they then use to go to the border. So there's like kind of a one stop at it. They're still pushing them through 14 different cities, Mexican cities right now. And then after they get to those Mexican cities, they're going to places like Del Rio and Yuma, and some are going to California too.
And you reported to us when you were down there, you showed us pictures. You sent pictures that you yourself took, and we showed them on the screen at the time, and they showed United Nations workers in their blue shirts, clearly identified as United Nations workers. What were those workers doing there on the border, Todd?
Right. Well, the United Nations has a program called cash-based assistance. They're open about it. It's all over their website materials and everything. And what they do is they provide what they call vulnerable migrants with cash, debit cards, to help them sustain themselves on the road, and especially when they have to wait. When the Mexicans make them wait in places like Tapachula, or they get caught up or hung up at the border under Title 42 at our border. And so the United Nations is handing out, you know, it depends on how many are in your family and where you are, what the cost of living is. So, you know, like in Reynosa, they were handing out $400 every 15 days to mothers with children, two children each. So families of four, is about $800 a month. And down in Tapachula, it was all in pesos, so it was a lot less. It's cheaper to live in Tapachula, but they aid and abet in that way. They sustain people so that they can cross our border, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, so the UN is clearly involved in this as well. All right, so...
Totally, up to their eyeballs.
So, and of course, we know what the United Nations is all about. They don't want national sovereignty. They don't want individual nations. I mean, this is part of their whole charter. It has been since they were founded in, 1945? So, no shocker, they're wanting to bring down America. Of course, they got to bring down America so they can roll into their globalist, you know, New World Order. Their words, not mine. Joe Biden used those words last week, even. So, you can't have this capitalist haven of America. You got to bring it down. And so, this is an absolute, in my opinion, the attempt to destroy America, bring us down. And, of course, the UN is dominated by the Islamist and the Marxist. You go look at their membership. So those are my thoughts, not Todd's. Todd can speak for himself. But, Todd, let me now move on to Title 42. You were on with me 2 weeks ago. It took the media. I'm not shocked, because sometimes you report things. We've been reporting things here for years that sometimes take the media 25 years to catch up on. Sometimes it's, no, I'm not joking. Sometimes it's 6 months. And then sometimes it's, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, or sometimes it's a year. In this case, it was a good couple weeks for the media to catch up on what you were telling us about Title 42 2 weeks ago. So now the media's picked up on it. Tell our audience about Title 42 that you were telling my TV audience 2 weeks ago.
The main thing to understand about Title 42 is what it does. Trump put it in March 2020 for the pandemic. Every migrant that got caught crossing the border was denied the opportunity to lodge an asylum claim and was instantly expelled back into Mexico. And taking asylum off the table dropped the numbers to, you know, 20,000-30,000 a month, which is, you know, compared to now, like, you know, some kind of fantasy world or something, you know. But it worked, because asylum is the key to everything. Asylum, American asylum, is the key to everything. And Title 42 kept asylum from all of these economic migrants. So Biden came into office and he tore these big exemptions in it for family units. They can claim asylum now and get in and be paroled right in. And that's what caused the mass migration all by itself, just the family units. and unaccompanied minors and pregnant women. We're not going to 42 those people. So, you know, before long, we had 2 million, you know, apprehensions, like in a year. So, you know, 200,000 a month or 180,000 a month, just crazy. So now Biden is going to remove the rest of it on May 23rd. And they're expecting anywhere from 400,000 to 550,000 a month after that. In other words, from 12,000 to 18,000 a day. I'm going with the 18,000. I think it's going to probably be even more than that. And that is something, you know, so far outside of the American experience that it's really truly a historic moment in the nation's history. This is going to be something that is, and by the way, those 500,000 a month are not like some of them get sent back. All of them are going to be resettled into the United States. You're going to have very, very few actually sent back. In comparison, or there's not going to be any expedited removal because they're making the asylum system available to all. All comers can just say, I declare asylum, and then those words, you don't have to verify it, you don't have to prove it, just those words alone get you a pass on deportation. You're out of deportation. And so you know, we're going to be looking at, if it holds, we'll probably be looking at 5 or 6 million people by the end of this year who actually get into the country. So the administration right now is scrambling to, they acknowledge it. That's why it's news, because, you know, the administration had to come out and say, okay, yeah, you got us. You know, we're having to make all these preparations. You can't hide the preparations that they're making, which involves going to the Pentagon and asking for troops, triggering FEMA to come out and, you know, treat the border like a disaster area, which we haven't seen that happen, marshaling aircraft, fleets of aircraft and pilots to come in and handle what's about to come over the border, and bring in hundreds and hundreds of federal employees and civilian volunteers to come in and you know, process these people in. All of that is geared to just one purpose, which is, well, I'll just say two purposes. One of the two purposes is that they desperately do not want another Del Rio migrant camp eyesore. They got to get these people moved off the border. There's going to be thousands of people in all different spots, and they don't want them out there in animal pens or, you know, inside, you know, barbed wire enclosures milling around for the TV cameras. You got to get them moved into the country as fast as possible. And two is that they are going to get them moved into the country. This isn't about blocking and stopping and deterring.
Hold right there. Todd Bensman, you don't want to go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Hope you'll check out all of our radio shows there. By the way, my nightly newscast, the Worldview Report, it is the world's only conservative nightly worldview newscast. It's 30 minutes, started it in December. It's gotten huge. We've gotten a huge response from it. It's been picked up. Of course, Lindell TV carries it. WVW Broadcast Network carries it. Brighteon TV carries it. It's gotten a huge response. And so you'll find that at WVWTV.com. We store it there, WVWTV.com. We also, at WorldviewTimes.com, we put up the transcript. So you might be going through there and you're listening at, wait a minute, what was that stat? What was that figure? Where did that come from? I'd like to have the link to that article or that tweet or that video. We put all that in the transcript at worldviewtimes.com. You also at worldviewradio.com find that I'm taking my nightly TV show and I'm putting that up as an MP3. So now you have the MP3 of this show, Worldview Radio, every day, put up as an MP3. You have the MP3 or podcast of my new show, my 30-minute news show, put up every day. And then you have my Brandon House Live TV show put up as an MP3 or podcast every day. For those who say, I don't have time to watch, or I don't want to chew up my bandwidth bill or whatever on my phone, so I like to listen anyway, then that's put up as a podcast. So lots of content at worldviewradio.com. We're trying to label it clearly, put up different pictures to go with each show so you can separate and make sure you're following the show you're used to following. So again, a lot of free stuff for you at worldviewradio.com. And of course, then WVWTV.com. Joining me is Todd Benzman, author of the book America's Covert Border War, subtitled The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. Todd Benzman. Todd, let's pick up where you were as we had to go into break. So Title 42 is supposedly going to be canceled May 23rd. 18,000 a day coming in here times 30 puts us at about 540,000 a month or more. You're saying 5 to 6 million in here before the end of the year. Are there any members of Congress that are screaming and hollering about this, Todd?
Yeah, actually, even Democrats are starting to express concern and make comments about this because, you know, obviously, this is an extinction moment for the Democratic Party. This is obviously going to hurt them in the elections. Now, you know, I think most of us would prefer that the Democrats not be hurt, because the country is getting hurt in its guts like this, unfortunately. But that's what motivates them. But listen, there's just nothing they can do because the administration is providing asylum. That's the problem here. They're providing the asylum system, which is a pass, an instant free pass into the country. All they have to do, they don't have to prove anything. They don't have to be convincing. They just have to say, hey, I'm going to at some point going to be an asylum seeker. And they're exempted from deportation. They get out of deportation, which is the law. They have to be deported, except when they say, I declare asylum. And so that was why Donald Trump spent so much effort and time taking the asylum system off the table for folks and making them wait in Mexico and all of that sort of thing. But the Biden administration is making it totally available to all comers. And that's really what the problem is. As long as they're going to do that, we're just going to have these Noah's floods coming through like this. So
what do you anticipate this doing to our nation? If you got 5 to 6 million illegals here before the end of the year, you know, I know I'm not going to hold you to it. It's your theory. But if you had to lay out what you think this is going to do to our nation, what is it going to do?
Well, there's going to be, you know, first, second, third, fourth order of effects here, that because we've never experienced anything like this, it's hard to totally be able to prognosticate. However, we do know that, you know, our school districts at pretty much every level, like, you know, there'll be thousands of school districts that are going to fill up past capacity and have to take these kids. And that means that people will see their property taxes or school taxes shoot up. They're going to have bond elections and all of that sort of thing, and teachers and ESL teachers. And so you're going to see that first. That's already happening. But then you're going to have a crime problem. You're going to have a housing problem. You're going to have providing health care issues, backlogs. You're going to have emergency rooms jammed up. You're going to have, public welfare roles are going to expand. It's going to cost money. State, local, and federal treasuries will all be hit by that. And then, you know, you're going to have a lot of people roaming around the country. Those kind of numbers, you got to do something with people. I don't know where they're going to even house people like this. So, you know, it's just going to be a lot of, consequences that we can't really even think about right now. We haven't even, you know, that number of people all at once in a short span of time, we're going to feel it. People are going to see it and feel it.
Do you know what you're describing? I think is the Cloward Piven strategy. Cloward and Piven were a husband and wife team out of Columbia University. He's dead. She's well into her 80s now, if she hasn't passed away yet. She was alive a year or so ago when I checked. But Frances Fox Piven. And her husband had the idea of many, many, many years ago, swelling the welfare rolls. I think they started out with doing this in New York and trying to swell the welfare rolls to the point it would collapse the city of New York, and then you'd have to start, you know, nationalizing things. So it's an overwhelm the system, let it collapse, and then you have excuse to nationalize stuff. You would only do this if you were deliberately trying to bring down America. I mean, if Donald Trump were in office, he wouldn't do this. So clearly the Biden regime, this is part of their cultural Marxist globalist scheme to destroy America. I mean, how else could it be? I mean, because this is all deliberate, correct?
Yes. Well, one thing I would add to that is that would be maybe supportive of what you're saying is that there's no Democratic Party that would have ever countenanced any of these policies. Not Bill Clinton, certainly, and not Obama. No Democratic Party has ever accepted these kind of policies. These are truly radical, and they come from the very, very farthest left Antifa area of the coalition. And they took control over immigration policy and all of these things, ending deportation, for example, which they have, providing asylum to everyone and anyone, ending, providing these humanitarian paroles en masse like they're doing. None of this stuff. Shutting down detention centers, ending detention. That these are their goals. It's in the Democratic Party platform from 2020, but the Democratic Party platform never had any of that type of stuff in it in its history. This is like way wacky far left stuff. So there's going to have to be some sort of a. So I mean, it is coming from whatever, I guess, the Piven's area of the party. And the party's going to have to somehow correct itself, but I think it's going to soon be way too late.
So
I don't really see very many Democrats complaining about this.
You know,
what's going on down there? They deny it. In fact, a lot of them just deny it. Say it's a big Republican fake news story.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Until there's the video footage, which, by the way, you're going to go down there and report and film and be with us on TV live, correct?
Yeah, I have to go down there. I was planning to go down today, but something happened. But yeah, I do have a go bag. I do have to go down there. I will tell you this, that I just had a source tell me the March numbers, apprehension numbers, 217,000 apprehensions in the month of March, which is a national record that we have never, the closest we ever came was about June of last year. It was like 213,000. Now it's like 217,000. Probably going to come in a little bit higher than that in a single month. And then there's another 68,000 gotaways that just got grew. So, I mean, the number for March was like astronomical. And I attribute this to the fact that the lifting of Title 42 has been rumored and in the air for quite a while now. And they're running for the border now. They're all coming now.
They're already here. They're already coming. My news report tonight, Worldview Report, I have a story in here about what is happening in the Middle East related to food and, of course, what's happening with Russia and Ukraine with wheat and other things, and then what's happening with the farmers in America with fertilizer, and some of them are flipping from corn to soybeans and all kinds of things going on with the food crisis. And, of course, we have the food inflation. So the point I'm making, Todd, is at a time when America is going to be facing, I think, again, by deliberate policies of this administration, what Joe Biden says is food shortages. Klaus Schwab has come out and said there's now going to be food shortages. Of course, again, they see these opportunities as an opportunity for the government, the crisis, and the opportunity for the government to come in and do things that they otherwise couldn't do or get away with, or the American people would not accept. So at a time where we're going to have trouble feeding people and supply chain issues and food, we're going to bring in before the end of the year another 5 or 6 million mouths to feed.
Well, there's never a good time to have 6 million people show up. There are worse times than others. And, you know, some of the things that we're facing, this isn't conspiracy theory stuff. You know, the President of the United States came out just the other day and said we are going to have real food shortages. And even though it's Joe Biden and half the time, whatever he's saying, we can't really be trusted. Nobody tried to walk that one back.
Nope, they sure didn't. And Klaus Schwab came out almost on cue and said the same thing at the World Government Summit last week in Dubai. Todd, I also in my news report tonight have a report that the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, is sending pallets and pallets and pallets, tons, literal tons of equipment to Ukraine. For the military. Is he out of his mind? The governor of Arizona should be saving all this for his own state.
Well, the Biden administration and American intelligence is predicting that this border flood, this Noah's flood, is going to hit the entire border, not just Texas. It's usually been in Texas. It's going to be everywhere. They're going to be coming in through Yuma and Tucson, Nogales, and he's going to have his hands really full down there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he is. And the gubernatorial candidate, Carrie Lake, who I've interviewed a few times in person and multiple times on TV, is warning about this as well. I want to keep you just a few more minutes, Todd. Got a couple more vital questions. His book, America's Covert Border War, available on Amazon. Then we'll be joined by Colonel John Mills. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, and all those listening on Lindell TV. If you're looking for a good Christian radio network, I highly recommend VCY America. You can go to their website, vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. You also find that they have a Roku channel as well. And Crosstalk is the program that comes on after mine on the VCY America Radio Network, hosted by Jim Schneider. It's America's original Christian talk program on 100 stations nationwide. It's been around since the 1970s, America's original Christian talk radio. Talk radio wasn't real popular, you know, and VCY America launched Crosstalk. So there you go, in the 70s. So in the final moments here before we go to Colonel John Smith, I have with me, Colonel John Mills. I have with me author Todd Bensman, author of America's Covert Border War, subtitled The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. Todd, a couple more questions for you. His website, by the way, is cis.org, cis.org. And you can also go to his personal website, toddbensman.com. And then, of course, his book is on Amazon. Todd, let's talk real quick about drug cartels, MS-13, jihadis, as is in the subtitle of your book, coming up from Venezuela, Iranian jihadis coming up from Venezuela, others. Tell me about the jihadists that are going to use this as a Trojan horse to get in here.
Well, that has always been a problem at the southern border, even before this, this mass migration thing that we're going through. But it was somewhat managed and manageable because the numbers were so small. But we have always had a steady stream of illegal immigrants coming from all of the countries of the Middle East, South Asia, and Northern Africa. The routes are there. They come through Pakistanis, Iraqis, Syrians, Bangladeshis, Indonesians, all the Stan countries, you name it. They come to the border, and that's been a concern. We, as a Homeland Security issue, we have worried about it, and we put up America's Covert Border War. These are the programs. And we have people on the FBI's watch list among them. We just had a Lebanese-born Venezuelan who crossed the river at Brownsville, and they ran his fingerprints, and he was on the FBI's watch list. Not only that, but he was regarded as a high risk and had substantial derogatory intelligence about him. And the FBI warned ICE to keep him in custody. And somebody from headquarters ordered him released because he was overweight and they were worried he was going to catch COVID. That guy is running around right now in Detroit pursuing what? An asylum claim. So we also have had Yemenis crossing who are already on the FBI's watch list. We had one caught by Mexico. And they released him, and nobody knows where he is. And that would never have happened if we weren't under this sort of an emergency with all the migrants coming through. We've had Yemenis on the watch list pass through Calexico into Calexico, California, and get caught in the last year. A Saudi crossed in Yuma 3 months ago, was on the FBI's watch list. So they are coming. We are catching some. But we're also doing a lot of strange things like letting them go. And that is attributable to this mass migration crisis. And I think that the threat level is very elevated right now about that. And especially when Title IV lifts, I don't think there's a jihadist in the world who's not looking at that thinking, huh.
That this is a great opportunity to slip in.
Yeah, of course. You know, they did that in the European context, 2015, 2016. They had a mass migration crisis, and ISIS put together teams, trained them, and gave them fake Syrian ID cards and pretended to be refugees, and they slipped in over the border and did the Paris attacks that killed 130 people, suicide bombings. They also did Brussels. And they've been committing jihadist attacks from one end of the continent to the other every month of every year since. So it's not like they don't have, I mean, it works. You know, success begets success.
Yep. Well, Todd, all I can say is thank you for the clarion call, the warning. You've been doing this for a long, long time. I wish more people were listening. And, of course, you're doing a great public service. And I do hope people will order your book. It is an excellent book, America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration, as those of you watching by television can see. It is not a small book, but it's not. It's an easy read. It's exactly 300 pages. Exactly 300 pages. And I highly recommend it to you. And I also recommend his website, cis.org, as well as his personal website, which is toddbensman.com, toddbensman.com. Todd, thank you for being with us. We look forward to having you back.
Thank you. Anytime. Happy to do it. Thanks for drawing attention to this.
No, absolutely. You're doing a great work and a great job, and we highly appreciate it. I know our phone lines will be lit up, and we take calls here in a minute. Todd Bensman checking in, folks. I hope you'll get his book. All right. He'll be reporting for us on camera when he gets down there. So we'll be hearing from him. We've been hearing from him about once every 10 days or so on my TV show, but first time to bring him on the VCY America Network. Joining me now is Colonel John Mills joins me. Colonel, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brandon. Always an honor to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Colonel. Retired Marine, correct?
Army, but that's okay, Brandon.
Sorry. Army, and was on the National Intelligence, National Security Council, I should say, National Security Council for two presidents. John, I want to have you on today to talk quickly before we go to the phone lines about something you text me today, which is very concerning, and it was a fake intel community assessment, fake intelligence community assessment. Can you tell me about this, the role that James Comey, FBI director, the role John Brennan, CIA director, were involved in, and were you involved in seeing this assessment?
Yeah, so I don't even know where to begin with this. This was a key part of my what I have presented and given to federal prosecutor John Durham. And I think this is probably one of the most shocking things I've ever been involved in my 35, 40-year career in national security. So what happened was, within a few days of the election in November of 2016, when President Trump won, I was called on the classified phone and urged that I must stop everything I'm doing and participate in a rapidly convened interagency committee to establish the trend. This is, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially Trump was a Russian asset story.
Now, I want to interrupt you for a second, Colonel. This was in 2015, so Obama's in the White House.
Sir. 2016. So this is a few days after Trump won the election.
Okay, so Obama's president-elect. Excuse me, Trump is president-elect. Obama's still the president.
Yes.
And you are doing what? Who are you working for at that point?
So I'm in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. I'm Director of Cybersecurity Policy, Strategy, and International Affairs. So I have a pivotal role in a number of these pressing national security matters. But this is a common thing that we will spin up small tiger teams, work groups at the White House to address urgent and trending national security matters to essentially develop the United States government policy position and action plan for how to address it. So I was called and said, hey, Trump won on Tuesday, and I think this was about Thursday. And I was called and said, we need you to be part of this group to finalize the Trump is a Russian asset story. And I'm just going, I'm putting my head in my hands. I'm just saying, this is unbelievable. And there was some crazy stuff going on since the spring lots of chatter. There were some groups, the longer story is there were some groups that I had been kind of disinvited from in the previous 18 months that I think became the unmasking groups, but also became the groups that were really in the spring and then summer really spun up and were essentially the spying on Trump effort, is what we now know factually. It's not opinion, it's not assertion, it's fact. Trump was, as the candidate, was being spied upon. So I was asked to be part of this this interagency effort, and I'm just going, this is crazy. This is the craziest thing I've ever in my career. I'm just disgusted with it. But I'm a professional at this point in time. I'm a senior career civilian. I've taken my oath of office. I got to do my duty here. Bottom line, what happened is, in November, December, this exercise spun up. Now, it was almost overtaken by events because in early December, had to start. I was one of the senior Department of Defense reviewers for the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, when the product was rapidly done, essentially directly. I was told it was being written hands on keyboard where James Comey and John Brennan. You never get a director of CIA and a director of the FBI personally typing action memos and reports like this. Never. It never happened. There's always staff that are doing this. So just the amazing nature that we had a director of Central Intelligence and a director of the FBI personally typing the executive summary, which said Trump was a Russian asset, was shocking enough. The problem was, when I read the whole report, and all this was top secret, there is an unclassified version released shortly later in January. But in the body of the document, I'm going, there is nothing in here that supports the assertion up front that Trump is a Russian asset. Nothing. I apologize. I'm reading the document. It's the term, there are dinosaurs in this dinosaur park. There is evidence in this assertion somewhere, right, that Trump is a Russian. There was nothing. I said, I read the document. My position as a professional has to be that I non-concur. And I wrote up the document. There's a standard process to write up these decision memos and these packages for the Secretary of Defense through a standard rote process. I just said, I have to non-concur with this. I've read the entire document. There is nothing in the body of the document that is supposedly being written, typed up personally by John Brennan and James Comey, that Trump is a Russian asset. My position, my recommendation to the Secretary of Defense is non-concur. I was told, John, stand down. Don't worry about it. Ash Carter has already signed a very abbreviated review package that he concur, and he did that primarily because he was told that John Brennan and Jim Comey are personally typing or personally preparing this. So there's a little problem now that we know in summer of 20, when it was released that John Brennan and Jim Comey knew this was a lie. Everything was a lie. Yet after Trump won, they ran with it. We have a false statement by a federal official, 18 U.S. Code. John Brennan and James Comey have committed a felony. False statements by a federal official.
And you're eyewitness to this.
I personally reviewed the package. Absolutely.
Hold right there, folks. Don't go anywhere. I was going to open the phone lines today, but Colonel John Mills is bringing us this breaking news story. We've got to dig a little bit deeper in the few remaining moments. Don't go away. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio. Our website, worldviewradio.com. Joining me is Colonel John Mills. Colonel, is this are you breaking this story here on our show today?
Right. We've never really gone. I've never gone into this much detail about this before, and I think it's very important because a lot of this. It wasn't until summer of 20 I had to amend my submission to the Durham investigation. Because it was released by Rick Grinnell and John Ratcliffe. They both released a very significant component which established factually John Brennan and Jim Comey knew the Russia story was fake and a creation of, Fusion GPS and the Hillary Clinton campaign. They knew that. They knew factually. Yet, as soon as Trump won, they created this charade and this urgency of action to create an interagency committee to finalize the Trump is a Russian asset narrative. So this is a willfully false statement and a willfully false action by a very senior, I would say the director of Central Intelligence, director of FBI, or senior federal official. I think most people would agree with that. And the stunning audacity of them to run with a narrative they knew was fake is just breathtaking. And this is a felony action by federal officials to frame a president-elect.
Does John
the basis.
John Durham, investigator John Durham, has all this now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's had this for a long time. Yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah, I had to amend my submission because I was shocked when John Ratcliffe and Rick Grinnell released, because I was watching very closely what they were demanding be declassified out of the intelligence community. And I did not know that factually John Brennan and Jim Comey knew the Russia story was fake until, God bless Rick Grinnell and John Ratcliffe, because then I go, oh my goodness, that means what I reviewed in November, December of 16 was a contrived creation.
And you knew that, though. You knew at the time it was not real. But what you're saying here
No. Very, very important. When I reviewed it in November, December of 16, I didn't know. I didn't know it was real or fake. I read the document that was presented, and I said there is nothing in the document that supports the assertion that Trump is a Russian asset.
Wow.
I didn't know it was fake. The whole thing was contrived, written by two senior federal officials who knew the Russia story was fake until late 2020.
And when you say senior, you're talking James Comey, FBI director, John Brennan, CIA director.
No. Absolutely.
And so are these men guilty?
Factually.
Were these men attempting a coup d'etat on a president-elect?
They were making willfully false statements to prevent. And part of this, I apologize, I should have pressed. Part of this was that breathless call I received in my office a couple of days after the election was, we're doing this narrative to attempt to delay or stop the inauguration of Donald J. Trump in January 2017.
So it was a coup d'etat.
But at the time I did not know this was a fake statement by Comey and Brennan. Now, in late 20, when I saw the declassification, I realized, oh my gosh, what I had been reviewing was willfully fake and it was a false statement, which is a felony. And yeah, you want to call it a coup? Yes, it was a coup to stop the inauguration of Donald J. Trump.
And you were told that on the phone. You were told on the phone a committee is being put together to delay or stop the inauguration of Donald Trump.
Establish the Russian narrative that Trump is a Russian asset and delay or stop the inauguration of Donald J. Trump. Yes.
And are you working directly with John Durham? In other words, have you all this paperwork you're talking about filling out, that's going to John Durham's investigation?
Yes, yes, yes. And I had to amend it after I saw the declassification, because that meant something that I had been very involved in, the review of this intel community assessment. That when I learned that in 20, I said, oh my gosh, I was reviewing 4 years previously, I was reviewing something that was willfully created and was fake. And yet John Brennan and Jim Comey willfully misled large segments of the U.S. government and thus misled the entire United States population. They willfully lied. This is not a difference of opinion. This is not a minor interpretation of events. They were creating, two of our most senior officials were creating a totally fake. They were lying about it. They knew they were lying about it. This is not a small, trivial matter.
Do you believe that John Brennan and James Comey will be indicted?
I sure hope so. I think now that I know what I know, I realize they were leading willfully an unlawful, mischievous, evil attempt to block a constitutional process. And, you know, the same thing essentially was, foisted upon Donald J. Trump for January 6th, which we have to call a federal insurrection because of all the FBI plants and penetrations of lawful Americans gathering peacefully. So this is the same group. This is the same mentality.
So everything they say, this is psychological projection. They're the ones involved in the coup d'etat. They're the ones involved in the subversion. They're the ones involved in the insurrection. True or false?
Absolutely. They're blaming the American people for what they are doing. So just like with the Whitmer air quote kidnapping thing, we're finding out that 12 of the 20 were actually FBI informants or actual FBI officials of the gang that was going to air quote kidnap Whitmer. That's a fraud. That is an absolute.
The music's playing to end. Are we living at a time where the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, Terry Turchi, says we're living in a time where there's no rule of law. True or false?
That is absolutely true. There is a deep state, and there are those who feel entitled to do whatever they want to do. And if it means lock up Americans from January 6th, the largest, most unlawful lockup of Americans since the Second World War, they will do that. They will lie about anything. And so we must bring them to justice.
Absolutely. Colonel John Mills, thank you for your service, for breaking this news. We're going to get you back. Let's see if we get you back on and take some calls tomorrow as well. Amazing stuff, folks. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.